That is the late, great Leonard Cohen, singing with chorus his best-known song, Hallelujah. Cohen first recorded it in 1984, and since then it has been performed by Bob Dylan, K.D. Lang, John Bon Jovi. In fact, I was at a bat mitzvah this spring where we all sang it. But Cohen is much more than Hallelujah. His song, Who by Fire, is a version of a Hebrew prayer.
And who by fire, who by water, who in the sunshine, who in the nighttime, who by high ordeal.
The documentary film Hallelujah, Leonard Cohen, A Journey, A Song, takes a deep dive into the life of Leonard Cohen and his most famous song. It is available now on various streaming services. Longtime music journalist Larry Ratso Sloman appears in the film. He interviewed Leonard Cohen numerous times over three decades. And Sloman spoke to us back in July when the documentary was released. Now, many of us, including me, associate Leonard Cohen with Hallelujah. But my goodness, he was so much more than this colossal anthem of our time. Renaissance man, spiritual man, poet, monk. How did he first strike you?
Well, I first met him when I was a young reporter for Rolling Stone magazine, and I was assigned to go to the Bottom Line, where he was playing two nights in Sicilia, and do an article about Leonard. And what struck me was how much effort and how much there's inspiration, of course, and then there's also perspiration. And I think the reason that we bonded is that we were basically two Jewish workaholics. And we saw something similar to each other because he had trepidations about playing live because, you know, he had been a poet for years in Montreal and he was good at doing that and doing poetry readings. But, you know, playing live in front of people scared him. The first time he did it, when Judy Collins, who was his mentor, brought him on stage.
Jumping in here, we have a little bit of sound of exactly what you're describing. Let's take a listen.
And Judy kind of talked me into doing this. And she invited me out on stage, and I started singing. And the guitar was completely out of tune. And I was scared anyways. So rather than humiliate myself, I left.
He said, I just can't do this. And he walked off the stage.
Does this capture a page of Leonard Cohen? He went through book after book of notes and lyrics and ideas before he was satisfied.
Absolutely. And, you know, Leonard was also a spiritual chameleon. At one point, he tried Scientology. He had explored all different things. He finally wound up being a Jewish Zen Buddhist. But what struck me also that, you know, I became obsessed during this assignment. And, like, I followed him back to his hotel room after the first night, and we did more interviewing, and then went back the next day for the second show. And what struck me so much, it was so prescient to me. Okay, so the show was over, and the audience was wild. They loved it. And I went back with Leonard to the little tiny dressing room, and Leonard slumped there, and he was so thrilled with the reception he got from the audience. And he said to me, this would be so great if I was able to continue doing this and to kind of bring the wisdom of the ages, you know.
If I was to continue to do this, he had doubts.
Yeah, and to be an elder is basically what he was talking about. So to me, you know, that's what Leonard became. I mean, Leonard became an elder to a whole generation, multiple generations of people. And, you know, I used to measure my life sometimes by Leonard's lyrics. In one song of his, Tower of Song, he said, I ache in the places that I used to play. And when I got to be about 60 years old, I said, I get it. That's what Leonard meant.
Well, my friends are gone and my hair is gray. I ache in the places where I used to play. And I'm crazy for love, but I'm not coming on. I'm just paying my rent every day in the Tower of Song.
We have to talk about Hallelujah and its journey. In the documentary, the producer John Lissauer, who collaborated with Leonard Cohen, produced the album called Various Positions. Let's take a quick listen.
Columbia had asked that we do a record that would put Leonard on the American map. And we had this song, Hallelujah, which was pop song-like, and it reached out more. It just had a more contemporary possibility to it.
And yet this album, it was not released in America?
Well, I'll tell you the story, because after the first article, Leonard and I bonded, and I'm meeting him for coffee in Soho, and he starts telling me, he says, you know, I have this song, Hallelujah, and I've been just tearing my hair out. I've been sitting in my underwear just to get this song right. it's like hundreds of verses, right?
And there's something like 150, 180 verses, something on that order?
I guessed 180, but it could have been, 150, yeah. Could have been. At any rate, so then he told me the story of bringing the album to Walter Yetnikoff, who was the head of Columbia Records at that time. Yetnikoff basically said to Leonard, we know you're great, we just don't know if you're any good. And he started ripping the album apart. And he decided he would not release the album in the domestic U.S. Of course, they would release the album all over Canada and all over Europe because it would make tons of money there. But in the United States, he just didn't want to release the album.
Well, Hallelujah, though, it eventually came into the public consciousness. It was covered by Bob Dylan. There's a famous version by John Cale.
Your faith was strong, but you needed proof. You saw her bathing on the roof, her beauty and the moonlight overthrew you. She tied you to a kitchen chair, she broke your throne, she cut your hair, and from your lips she drew the hallelujah.
John didn't really know Leonard's work that well at that point, but Cale and I went to see Leonard at the Beacon Theater, and that's where Cale sort of flipped out when he heard Leonard do Hallelujah, except it was not the same version of the song that was on the album. The album's song is much more spiritual, King David and all these Old Testament references, and when Leonard started doing it live, he had changed and used all whole other verses, and they made him much more secular and sexy. So I told John, you know, it'd be great if you could do both the spiritual and the secular. And then Cale, of course, did a beautiful version of putting the best of both, you know, some of the spiritual and the secular verses. And it was fantastic. And then, of course, Jeff Buckley did a version. Really broke the song was this cartoon character, Shrek.
Yeah.
And then, of course, as you said, it went on from there to bar mitzvahs, to weddings, to funerals, to buskers on the subway.
Yeah, everywhere. My son's high school choral group.
There's one point Leonard made a cheeky comment, which was, you know, I think people should give this song a rest. We've had enough versions.
I saw that. Did he mean it?
No, of course not. I mean, I think Leonard was actually thrilled that he got some kind of retribution against these Philistines at the record company who didn't want to. And look, any artist, Dylan, him, anybody wants to communicate. When you can communicate and a song can be embraced by such a variety of different people around the world, then you know, you've really done your job.
Yeah. Leonard Cohen passed in 2016, in the fall of 2016. You're a writer. Give me a few words that come to your mind when you describe Leonard Cohen.
Number one is the Jewish term mensch, which is just a wonderful human being. He was humble. He was caring, not only about people's feelings, but he cared about the work. And somebody who, you know, didn't become, you know, an elitist. You know, he really was a man of the people, and he was a terrific friend, and, I just miss him dearly.
Music journalist Larry Ratso-Sloman, appears in the new documentary, Hallelujah, Leonard Cohen, A Journey, A Song. Ratso Sloman, thanks so much. Great pleasure.
Thanks, Scott. Take care.
And we leave you with Brandi Carlile's version of Hallelujah. In the film, she talks about what it meant to her as a young, spiritual, gay person. Ah!